Merging with Shiva, Lesson 229, Psychic Sights, Use and Misuse. The mystic learns how to use his already developed sixth sense, his third eye. It is used all the time, constantly, day in and day out, though not consciously. For example, someone may walk into your home. You look at him and say, "You are not feeling very well today. You seem disturbed." How do you know? Inside yourself, you are seeing his aura. If he enters looking bright and shiny, you know how he feels inside because you see his aura. The spiritual path to realization of the self, however, is not to see and analyze auras. The quest is to flow awareness through even the core of energy itself into the vastness of the self-God, where awareness, completely aware of itself, dissolves in its own essence and merges into timelessness, into causelessness, into spacelessness, into Shiva, beyond that still, still area of the mind. Yes, learning to read auras can be a hindrance on the path to enlightenment because one can become the center of attraction, for everybody wants to know what his aura looks like. The aura is constantly changing. To give a reading of a friend's aura would be like telling him what kind of clothes he's wearing. The next day, he may be wearing something different also. When you can see someone's aura quite often, you do not notice it. Generally, if you do have this awakened inner perception of auras, you would only notice someone's aura if it were particularly dull or strongly radiant. A mystic who has control of this faculty does not generally see auras all of the time, but just when he wants to. But if a person's aura were outstanding in a certain way, naturally, it would stand out clearly and be seen easily. And so, when we look into such an aura, we are actually looking into the area of the mind in which his individual awareness is traveling, where the mind is always totally in a state of creation, with awareness flowing through the mind just as the traveler roams the world. The mystic has to caution himself not to become overly involved in the emotions of others. He must protect his inner life by living two-thirds within and only one-third in the external realms of consciousness. And he must be wise enough to know that each one has to walk either over or around all the boulders in his path. In other words, if you are around people who are not good, who have dark auras, who have deep-rooted subconscious areas that represent a lot of black, gray, red, green blobs hidden in the psychic nerve currents of their chest, and you are not quite out of that area yourself, the vibratory rate of those people will draw you back into those areas of the mind. That is why those who live the contemplative life like to be among themselves. They like to be with people of the same lifestyle. It is extremely necessary to surround yourself with a good environment to make progress on the spiritual path past a certain point. You can meditate a little bit to move awareness into a peaceful area of the mind, or get a little burst of inner light, or practice breathing and have a healthier body and a sound nerve system. But if you really want to go deep within toward your goal, you have to move awareness the physical body, the emotional body, mental body, in with a group of people that are thinking along the same lines and living the same lifestyle. The group helps the individual, and the individual helps the group. The gift of psychic vision should be developed very gradually through the stages of sadhana. The veiling grace of Lord Shiva is for a very good reason. Some people are born with psychic sight and maintain it throughout their lifetime, as this faculty was developed in a prior birth. The wisdom and understanding of its proper use comes naturally to them. But more commonly, psychic sight develops slowly, almost imperceptibly, through an unbroken continuity of sadhana. Through the unveiling grace of Lord Shiva, we are allowed to see what needs to be seen at a proper time in our life when we can sustain the resultant reactions. We often observe the facial expressions and body language of friends and strangers, and thus learn the contents of their conscious and subconscious mind, and from this deduce how they are thinking and feeling. But much can be concealed if we see no deeper. For example, someone may be smiling when he is really feeling depressed. However, when we see with our astral vision, there is no mystery. When we peer into their subconscious mind, we see the colors of their moods and emotions that perhaps are not reflected in their faces. Yes, colors and auras do relate to the five states of mind: conscious, subconscious, sub-the-subconscious, sub-superconscious, and superconscious.